Father God, help us to remember that sacrifice. You had a plan, and you carried it out. We just thank you for the sacrifice of your Son. We just thank you for your love. I just ask that you would give me the confidence to speak what you've given me to speak tonight. I just give you this in Jesus' name. Amen. Have you ever asked yourself, why did Jesus have to come to earth as a man and die the horrible death on the cross? Certainly, the Creator could have come up with a different plan, another way of carrying out what he wanted. I think of it this way. God tried the perfect way with Adam and Eve. He put two people in a garden and gave them only a few rules and let them live in the garden. God knew beforehand that it would fail, but he gave that opportunity. Not because the plan was bad. It didn't fail because of that. It failed because man is bad. He could have made us perfect, but in order to do that, he would have had to take away our free will, and he didn't want to do that. Years ago, there was an advertisement where I think it was an insurance company, and they would pump out salesmen that looked exactly the same. And that's not what God wanted for us. He wanted us to live a life that we had control of. And in order to do that, he had to leave free will in there. He wanted us to make our own decisions. And that's where the plan derailed. The Kingsmen, a Southern gospel quartet, sing a song entitled God Saw a Cross. And the lyrics start out with Adam and Eve in the garden. When Adam saw his wife's sin in the garden, in the distance God saw a cross. From the beginning, man would need a Savior, and Jesus would have to come and die on the cross. The song continues. Cain killed his brother Abel. When Moses slew the Egyptian man. When David chose Bathsheba. Man was and is imperfect. Romans 3:22b and 23 says, there is no difference between Jew and Gentile. Verse 23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. It was our destiny. We would need a Savior. And we have a Heavenly Father who loves us so much that he gave us what we needed. John 3:16 says it all. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. From the Garden of Eden, we learned that without the shedding of blood, there could be no remission from sin. When Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, they knew they were naked. They needed something to cover that nakedness. Genesis 23, verses 8 to 11 tells us, starting with verse 8, then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And they hid from the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man, where are you? He answered, I heard you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid. And he said, who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree that I commanded you not to eat from? They knew as soon as they had committed the first sin, as soon as they had eaten the forbidden fruit, they needed a Savior. To cover up their nakedness, Genesis 23, 21 and 22 says, "The Lord God made garments of skin for Adam and his wife and clothed them. And the Lord God said, 'The man has now become like one of us, knowing good and evil. He must not be allowed to reach out his hand and take also from the tree of life and eat and live forever.'" In order to cover their sin, an animal was killed. This is the foundation of the Jewish sacrifices. Leviticus 4 tells you more than you will ever want to know about sin offerings. Leviticus 16 tells us about the Day of Atonement. A Day of Atonement is that one day each year that the sin offering is made. So essentially, once every year, the sin offering was made to cover their sins for a year. So I'm happy that my God had another plan. I don't mean to be so glib, because I recognize that for man to stop performing the sin offering, Jesus would have to die that horrible death on the cross. Before we get to the cross, we have another stop in Egypt. What does Pastor Brian always say? Nothing happens in the New Testament that didn't happen in the Old Testament. And what I'm going to read is supplemental to what he talked about last Sunday. We have the plagues of Egypt, and the most important plague was the death of the firstborns. Verses from Exodus 11 and 12 tell us about that plague. 11:4, Moses said, "This is what the Lord says: about midnight, I will go out among the Egyptians. Every firstborn son in Egypt will die, from the firstborn of Pharaoh, who rules the land, to the firstborn of the children of the female slaves who use their handmills, including every firstborn domestic animal." Exodus 12, starting at verse 7, says, "They must take some of the blood and put it on the sides and the tops of the door frames of the houses." And 12, "On that same night, I will go throughout Egypt and kill every firstborn male, both human and animal. I will severely punish all the gods of Egypt because I am Lord. But the blood of your houses will be a sign for your protection. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. Nothing will touch or destroy you when I strike Egypt." So blood, once again, provides salvation from death and shows the faithfulness of God's people. In the garden, we see that Adam and Eve's sin is covered from the death of an animal. In Egypt, the blood of a perfect lamb gave salvation to the Israelites. In the book of Leviticus, the sacrificed animals of animals is translated to remission of sin. The writer of Hebrews succinctly put it, chapter 9, verse 12, "In fact, the law requires that nearly everything be cleansed with blood, and without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness." All of this brings us to the crucifixion of Jesus and Good Friday. When we think about Jesus, we tend to go to one of two places. We think of the baby in the manger. We're filled with peace. We think of the lowing of a cow or two. Sorry about that. There are no beatings, no blood, no busy Via Dolorosa, no trials, no crosses. We don't conjure up the same atmosphere at Christmas or even Easter that we do on Good Friday. Having been in the old city in Jerusalem and walk down the Via Della Rosa, we see how busy it was. The shops, the businesses that are going on. I've seen the streets. For Jesus, the road started with the creation of the universe. John 1 tells us, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. Jesus had to have known from the beginning of time that he would end up on the cross. He knew that he would come to earth fully human and fully God. He knew that he had to take away the sins of man, not just good men, all men, all that call on his name. As Isaiah put it, at least 700 years before it happened, Isaiah 53, verse 3 starts with, he was despised and rejected by mankind, a man of suffering and familiar with pain. Like one from whom people hide their faces, he was despised, and he held him in low esteem. Surely he took on our pain and bore our suffering, yet we considered him punished by God, stricken by him and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we are healed. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to our own way, and the Lord was laid on him. The Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, and as the sheep before its shears in silence, so he did not open his mouth. The song that Stacy and Cheryl just sang was Once and For All. The Old Testament sacrifices were performed once a year, year after year. But Jesus died once and for all. Jesus died once and for all. The perfect man became the perfect lamb once and for all. No more rituals to be done every year. Hebrews 10:10 tells us, we have been made holy through the sacrifice of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. We can say the divine with divine assurance that we were on his mind when he was being crucified. Here we are at a Good Friday service celebrating the fact that God loves us so much that he made it possible for us, sinful mortals, to have everlasting life. To me, it's bittersweet. The bitter part is to think of the pain and suffering caused by the beatings and the crucifixion on my behalf. The sweet part is that all we have to do is have faith in Jesus Christ, and we will have everlasting life. When Pastor Brian is preaching, I tend to think about music sometimes. This message comes down to the lyrics of a song by Casting Crowns, entitled, Who Am I? The lyrics are, not because of who I am, but because of what you've done. Not because of what I've done, but because of who you are. Are you his? Does the shepherd know your name? Dr. David Jeremiah says the hearing of the gospel message demands a response. What will you do with this message? Will you reject it and convince yourself that you don't need him? Or will you accept it and turn your life over to him today. As I wrote this message, I attended a funeral of a 40-year-old family member. He left a wife and two sons. Even as his body was failing, he was willing to accept death without Jesus Christ. I can't even imagine it. We have no idea when it will be our time to go. Don't wait to make the decision. Don't let the service end Easter Sunday without knowing that you personally know Jesus Christ as your Savior. Last slide, Zach. Brian used this at the end of his sermon, and when I see this, I think of what John the Baptist said in John 1, chapter 1, verse 29. Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This wasn't meant to be educational. I hope it helps you to reflect on how much our God loves us. Let's pray. Father God, you sent your Son to die that horrible death on the cross. And then you left him there. We just ask that you would help us to remember that. And Easter, we can celebrate, we can be happy because in 3 days, he will rise. It's Friday, but Sunday is coming. We just thank you for everything that you do for us, and we just ask that we would continue to develop our personal relationship with you. We just thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.